Good afternoon, KTOO listeners. I'm Ken Fix. I'm your host for a Juno afternoon today, so it's almost 3 p.m. Today's show, we're going to talk with Liz Lucas and Hal Geiger about the upcoming Advanced Planning Forum. We'll get a preview of Theater in the Rough's presentation of The Winter's Tale opening this Friday. Jordan Nigro will be here to highlight Saturday's sale dinner and auction. Michaela Moore will be here with details about Wednesday's fundraiser for the Activities Department. These guests, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, Music, and lots more for Tuesday, October 28th, 2014. Stay with us. National Native News is up first.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Native organizations are among those releasing statements on the recent school shooting in Washington State, including the National Indian Education Association and the National Congress of American Indians. The NCAI Executive Board says they're deeply saddened by the tragedy at Marysville Pilchuck High School and say their thoughts and prayers are with the families of the victims, the students, and the Tulalip tribes. NCAI goes on to say it's at times like these that Native communities from across the country come together in support of each other. Media reports say the shooter, Jalen Freiberg, was from a prominent Tulalip family. He reportedly opened fire at a high school, killing one person and injuring four others, including his cousins, before taking his own life. NCAI President Brian Cladisby, a well-known leader in the Pacific Northwest, expressed his solidarity with the Tulalip tribes. Services were held for Native American actress Misty Upham over the weekend. Her family had reported her missing earlier this month. Her body was later found in Auburn. She appeared in many television and movie roles, including 2013's August Osage County. She's being remembered by many Native Americans in the film industry. Actor, comedian, and motivational speaker Tatanka Mean says she was an inspiration.
I looked at her as an inspiration because not only was she just a great actress, but she wasn't doing Westerns. I mean, she wasn't doing these period pieces. She was looking for one type of work, I think, and that was, you know, mainstream work, and that was what she went after. She was a serious actress. It wasn't, you know, a hobby. It wasn't just when an audition came in and she sent in something. I think she really studied the art and took it really seriously, and you can tell because of these major roles that she played. And, you know, she's an inspiration to not just me, but, you know, young kids that are out there that want to excel in the entertainment industry and the film industry and the on theater, on stage. Much love to all of her family out there, all of her friends, and the community of Misty Upham.
Her family is voicing concerns about how police have handled her case. A family press release claims wrongdoing, which police have publicly disputed. Over the weekend, a British Columbia First Nation marked 150 years since its war chiefs were wrongfully executed. As Lisa Hale reports, the provincial government has apologized and cleared their names.
In the 1860s, British settlers tried to build a road to the Cariboo goldfields, right through Silcoteen territory. The nation had been decimated by smallpox, and the road was seen as a path for more disease. The nation fought back, and the colony responded with military force, touching off the Chilcotin War. Authorities invited the Silcoteen to peace talks, but instead their war chiefs were arrested, tried, and hanged on October 26, 1864. Before his execution, Chief Klatsasin declared that the Silcoteen had meant war, not murder. The road was never completed. In June of this year, the Supreme Court of Canada affirmed Tilcoteen ownership of its territory for the first time in the country's history. Chief Roger William credits the war chiefs for the win.
Our people really feel that the sacrifice of those warriors, the warrior leaders, are the reason why we won Aboriginal title.
Last week, the provincial government exonerated the Tsilhqot'in chiefs and apologized to the nation for their wrongful execution 150 years ago.
It's a good start. We call it a good start. And I think there needs to be more work, and it's not over yet.
For National Native News, I'm Lisa Hale in Vancouver.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Science, technology, engineering, and math students thrive at New Mexico Tech. Personalized instruction, rigorous curricula, undergrad research opportunities. New Mexico Tech, where the smart kids go. Info in Winds of Change magazine or visit nmt.edu.
National Native News brings you information from around Indian Country and the world. Find out how to reach our listeners while also supporting this program by visiting nativenews.net.
Built by Native Business for Native Business, the Native American Contractors Association B2B Conference and Expo, November 10th to 12th. Participants engage in discussion, build contacts, get federal contracting training, and business development. Registration at nativecontractors.org.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
You're listening to KTOO in Juneau. That was National Native News. You know, a lot of the programs that we get with shows like Fresh Air, All Things Considered, Democracy Now, these aren't free to KTOO. We pay for the right to air these broadcasts, and that's where we rely on you as a KTOO listener to support the programming that we air. You wouldn't just want to listen to me for 8 hours a day. My wife doesn't, so you wouldn't want to. I'd like to ask you out there to consider being a sustaining member or making a one-time gift and helping us continue to provide the programming that we air each day. KTOO does a lot to inform you with news, weather, and the special programming we produce daily, plus what we get from National Public Radio. Hillary and Kristen are in the next room standing by to take your call. They're from the National Council on Alcohol and Drug Dependence, and they are volunteering their time. So give them a call at 586-3636 and consider making a donation or making yourself a sustaining member of KTOO. And now I'm going to bring my first guests on here, and they are Liz Lucas from AARP and Hal Geiger from the Foundation for the End of Life Care. And both of you, welcome to the studio today.
Yeah, thanks, Ken. Thanks for having
us. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, let's talk about this free advanced planning forum that's coming up here on the 30th.
Well, let's talk about where it's going to be first.
Okay.
it will be on October 30th from 5:30. Until 8:15 at the Centennial Hall, Ballroom 1. And if you want to come a little early, say at 5 o'clock, we will have some light refreshments, and several of the nonprofit people will be there with materials that you can look at, pick up, take home, and it is in coordination with what will be happening at 5:30 sharp. We will start. And if you want to know more about how to organize or prepare some advanced planning for yourself or for your loved ones, if you want to find out about living wills and what to do with advanced directives, we have a panel of experts from town that will be there, and they will be on tap to help you, and there will be certainly an interchange so that you can ask questions.
All right, Liz, why do you think that we put off planning for the end of our lives? It's like, okay, we don't want to think about that.
Well, this is Hal. I think it's obvious because you just don't want to think about it. You know, it's so obvious you can only say it by just repeating the question almost. But I've seen that in my family. I've had certainly a lot of I've had family members die now. Both my parents have died, and they really were quite different. Where my father, who had been a very brave young man, had served in the Marines and was wounded in the landing on Guam. He just simply couldn't face any of it towards the end of his life. Where my mother could. And I don't know what I learned from that, from looking at the two of them. Some people just have a really hard time facing it. But that said, it's inevitable. It's going to happen anyway, whether you plan for it or not. And it certainly works a lot better if you make some plans and tell people what you want, how you want to be treated, make some of your own decisions. Somebody's going to have to make the decisions. It can be you or it can be somebody else.
Right, and a lot of times it's really tough for people to make those decisions because they're in a period of grief and now it's okay. What are we going to do about this? What's, you know, what's your plan for this? You know, the finances, people's last, you know, wishes on how they would like their burial or cremation carried out. I mean, that's all kinds of things that, in many ways, get left into the hands of the loved ones because the other people don't want to address the issue before they die.
And of course, those are issues that sometimes have to be dealt with in crisis. But there's a lot of other issues. I know when I went to, well, stepping back, this is our second event that's somewhat similar. And I think about it, a year and a half ago, Liz asked a member of our board if we'd want to participate in having one that we had a year ago. So this is our second event. This, they're not exactly the same, but they're somewhat similar. But as I sat there, I found that a lot of the decisions my wife and I made about, say, we made decisions, you know, leading up to retirement. Some of those decisions were really bad. I mean, that's what I learned from listening to the lawyers. Those were not decisions that were made in crisis. So this advanced planning, it's not all about what you have to do the weeks before someone dies. Some of this is stuff that you should be thinking about in your 40s and your 50s.
Oh, yeah, this is the stuff like, you know, why is it so hard for us to plan for retirement?
Yes.
I know people that are in their, you know, 40s, early 50s that haven't put back a dime and have no plan at all.
Well, I think the way this often happens is you learn about this helping your parents deal with things that they have not dealt with. But that should be just preparing you for your own advanced planning, showing you what you should have done.
I think one of the best things, perhaps, that from a situation like this where we talk about it, and you perhaps are able to arrive at some solutions or resources that you could tap that you hadn't thought out before, because there are other people there at the meeting thinking and asking, and the main topic is, what can I do? And we have decided that one of the best, one of the things that you can do is, this is the best gift you can give your family. You can give them a lot of things. A lot of people project out financial resources to leave their children, and that is good. But at the same time, one of the real blessings is to have a plan, so when the inevitable comes, they can simply pull out what you have already laid out, what you want, and it makes it so much easier. The best gift you can give your family.
And I asked the question before we went on the air, what exactly does a living will do? And either one of you can answer this, because I don't know what it does. Just, you know, what is in a living will, and how does it work? I mean, not necessarily just the, you know, specifics of it, but just a broad definition of what a living will is.
Well, I guess we could tell you a little bit. I mean, that's where you write down how you want to be treated at the end of your life, and there's a number of little categories. There's a thing called five wishes, which is kind of a way to organize this. But I guess I would say that rather than ask us this, we should probably tell people who are really curious to come and hear experts describe it. We'll have two very well-respected lawyers. Vance Sanders is coming back to Juneau for this event. A lot of people know Vance. He's just a wonderful person, has done a lot to help people in Juneau. And we're also going to have a new lawyer from Faulkner Banfield, Chris Walker, who was not at our last event. So those would be questions that would be probably best addressed to them, and I know they're going to talk about that in some depth and in some length.
All right. How did you get involved in the Foundation for End-of-Life Care?
Well, I guess Dr. Urata got me involved in it. I ran into him at the funeral of a patient of his, an acquaintance of mine. And I started talking to him, and I had actually met Elizabeth Kubler-Ross in the 1970s and had an interest in this, but then I've got involved with other things. And at that time, there was a position open on the board, but I was busy with another board. And when my commitment came off, when I finished with that other opening, I had an ear infection or something. I saw Dr. Urata in the clinic, and he got me pulled back into it. And then I've also volunteered with hospice a bit, and I guess that answers the question.
All right, and Liz, how did you get involved with AARP?
Well, I tell you, after my retirement from teaching, which I dearly loved, that was my first passion, and teaching is my passion. But I, of course, did the inevitable of I don't want to do anything after retirement. I want to just play for a while. Well, I did. And 3 years going on cruises, etc. But then I woke up one morning and said, self, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? This could get boring. And almost the next time I went to a retired teacher's meeting, someone said, Liz, you should really get into AARP. And I said, oh, sure. But after I thought about it for a while, and I read up on AARP, making a difference, increasing the quality of life for people after 50 plus, and for actually addressing the issues for people that age and as they age. And I thought, that's good. That sounds good. And so 3 years into it, I'm still with AARP and loving every moment, so it's my second passion.
All right. Well, let's again let everybody know when the Advanced Planning Forum is coming up. And I notice it says free. So
it is
this
free.
Is free. Not a lot of things in this town are free. So
absolutely.
Take advantage of something that's free. So please cover all the details on it again.
I guess I'll throw in a lot of people know about our book that the foundation put together is really a labor of love by Jenny Palmer primarily, but the rest of it, many of us on the board helped. We'll be giving out copies of that to people who come, so it'll be more than free. You'll come away with some.
This was October 30th, 5:30 to 8:15, Centennial Hall, Ballroom 1, and we would love to have you there. Better come early because we ran out of space the last time.
Oh, so but we'll have a lot more space
I think
this
we
time.
Will.
All right.
We can take care of
it. Thanks a lot, Ken.
All right, Liz Lucas and Hal
much.
Geiger, thank you very much for being our first guests on the show today.
You're welcome.
And it's 3:17 p.m. You're listening to KTOO in Juneau. And Hillary and Kristen from the National Council on Alcohol and Drug Dependence are just sitting out there reading Jeff Brown's magazine. And I would love for you guys to just get them busy and give them a call at 586-3636 because the programming that you get on KTOO can't take place without listeners like you. So please consider calling and becoming a sustaining member or making a one-time donation. 586-3636. And you're either going to get the lovely Hillary or the lovely Kristen that are both sitting out there right now reading Jeff Brown's magazine. So I'd love to see them answer a phone call.
I'm not scared of dying, and I don't really care if it's peace or finding dying within let the time be near. If it's peace you find in dying when dying time is here, just bundle up my coffin, cause it's cold way down there. When I die and when I'm gone, there'll be one child born in a world to carry on. Thank you.
Support for programming on KTOO comes from George McGuan, candidate for House of Representatives in District 34 from Sunny Point to Berners Bay, paid for by McGuan for State House.
Juno Afternoon continues. It's 3:20 p.m. My next guest is Aaron Elmore, and he's here to give us a preview of Theater in the Rough's presentation of The Winter's Tale, which is opening this Friday. Hi, Aaron. How are you?
I'm really well, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Okay. Let's talk about the play.
Winter's Tale, as you say, opens this Friday. It's a play we've wanted to do for a number of years. We got close to doing it last season and then decided it got a little ambitious. We decided we wanted to do more things with it than we had time and energy to do, so we did another production. And this year we've had a chance to plan and prepare in just the way that we hoped. So it's a long time coming. It's been wonderful.
Okay. And who is the author for The Winter's Tale?
I'm sorry. That's William Shakespeare. one of Shakespeare's actual...
Sorry, I got to give the credit where credit's
due.
Right.
That's all right. He still deserves it. Very nearly 400 years from the time it was first published in the first folio. Anniversary for that comes up in 2016, along with the anniversary of Theater in the Rough being 25 years. So we're sort of pointing towards that. But Winter's Tale is a comedy that Shakespeare wrote, as he wrote all of his plays, a play to be enjoyed and seen in action. It contains famously one of the most astonishing stage directions in his entire collection of works, Exit Pursued by a Bear. So that's one of those things that you embrace when you do The Winter's Tale. When you do Midsummer Night's Dream, you know you have to make a ass's head mask for somebody, and at some point during The Winter's Tale, you're going to have to see a bear. So that's what we've one of the things we've picked up in this. That's been a lot of fun.
Okay. Who are our main characters, and who's playing the parts?
Well, I've got a lot of the usual suspects are back in a Theater in the Rough show. You do see a lot of people over and over again, myself and my wife, Katie, the co-founders and co-artistic directors, are both appearing in it. I'll be playing King Leontes, who takes on the role a bit like Othello. Leontes is a jealous man, and unlike Othello, whereas it takes Othello about a month and a half to get through his jealousy, it takes Leontes about an afternoon. It's very compressed. So we get right the way through the terrible jealousy in the play, and then things kind of start lightening up from that point. But he is one of his close counselors is a character named Paulina that Katie's playing. Leontes is married to a queen, Hermione, that's played by Donny Gott. And his best friend, Polixenes, is played by Eddie Jones. And as you can imagine, Leontes being a jealous man, the people he's jealous of are his best friend and his lady. So that situation brews up pretty fast during the beginning of the play. Leontes' son, Mimilus, is played by Callahan Fowler. And two of his other advisors, Hadassah Nelson, plays the role of Camillo, and Dan Wayne plays Antigonus. There's also a shepherdess and a clown played by Becky Orford and Carl Broderson, and a rogue who's also played by Dan Wayne. The rogue's name is Autolycus. And Leontes also has a daughter, although he doesn't know it's hers. He doesn't know that she is his daughter, and that's played by Natalia Spengler. His daughter is cast out, lost. So you get a little bit of Othello, and pretty bit later you get into a little bit of Snow White, trying to get the girl thrown off into the woods and left for dead. And sure enough, somebody comes along and picks her up, and then things start looking rosier for her pretty rapidly. And eventually she meets a handsome young man. Of course, it turns out that the handsome young man she's met is the prince of the adjoining kingdom, right? That would be, of course, Leontes' best friend Polixenes' son, Florizel. It's played by Grady Wright. So the... eventually it all comes back together. The big burden to the story that I've always wondered about is the title of The Winter's Tale. There's a line in the play about that. But it doesn't really answer a lot of the questions. And so one of the things that we decided to do pretty early on was to try to anchor this all in... try to find how many different ways the transformation occurs. It's a lot of what makes spring important, what makes summer important, is that it is a transformation of the sort of dead season of winter on into what happens in summertime. It certainly is also a reflection of how our lives go. we then decided to personify the character of winter and to have winter transform into summer in front of everybody. And so there's a mask and a dance that sort of centers around this. I suppose with all these fancy names and all this talk about big ideas, it sounds like this is going to be a bit like reading the encyclopedia backwards, but it's a heck of a lot of fun, and there's a tremendous amount of music and dancing and mask work, and it's incredibly funny as well.
And this is a funny play and not a tragic play.
Yeah, no, it all ends up happy. We got all kinds of marriages, and everybody ends up happily ever after at the end. Yeah, it's a bit like a fable in that way, like an old fairy story.
All right, Aaron, let's give everybody the particulars. Where is this going to be, and where are tickets available, all that stuff?
We are, once again, at our digs there in McPheeters Hall at 4th and Gold there, the parish hall for Holy Trinity Church. And Theater in the Rough tickets for The Winter's Tale can be got at the Jack at all the bookstores. They can also be got at the door and online at theaterintherough.org. It gets you through into the Vendini scene, so you get your own self tickets. Come on, see it. We have tonight a free preview, so you can come see that and see sort of some of our final rehearsals and see us in action that way. Also Thursday night, if you can't make it tonight, it's all another free preview. We've been doing this now a couple of shows, and we really like it. To be able to get people in early in our process, find out what works and what doesn't. And then we'll be running Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays for the next 4 weeks. And then we'll actually have two Sunday matinees on the 16th and the 23rd of November. And then we'll close at that point.
All right. Aaron Elmore from Theater in the Rough, thank you for being a guest on our show today.
Thank you.
And now I'm going to play one song off Bard Americana, which is the Songs of Shakespeare. This one is called Blow Thou Winter Wind. Enjoy.
Thy tooth is not so keen, because thou art not seen, though thy breath be rude. Hey ho, sing hey ho, on to the green holly. Most friendship is feigning, most loving mere folly. Then hey ho, the holly, this life is most jolly. Thou bitter sky, that dost not bide so deny, as benefits forgot, though thou the waters warm, thy sting is not so sharp, as friends remember not. Hey ho, sing hey ho, on to the green holly, most friendship is fading, most loving.
Okay, and that was Blow Thou Winter Wind from Bard Americana, the Songs of Shakespeare. It's 3:28, and a Juno afternoon is going to continue in just a second, but Hillary and Kristen are sitting out there, and they're smiling at me looking through the window right now. They are doing absolutely nothing, and I would love to see them pick up a phone. So any of you out there, consider being a member or just pledging $15 or $20 or more. You'll become a member of all the three stations here, KTOO, KRNN, and KXLL. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means you're part of what keeps us on the air. With your financial support, you're a member of our community, and you believe in what we're doing. Your input helps us make decisions about the program schedule, and we've got a variety of wonderful thank you gifts, which Hillary and Kristen can tell you about if you just give them a call. So, hey, whatever you can do, make it happen. Be part of KTOO with a membership pledge, and the number is 586-3636. My next guest in the studio is Jordan Nigro, and she's here to highlight Saturday's sale, dinner, and auction. I'd like to welcome her to the show. Hi, Jordan. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Okay, first off, let's enlighten everybody who doesn't know what SALE stands for.
So SALE stands for Southeast Alaska Independent Living.
All right, and let's talk about the dinner. What are you having?
So our fundraising dinner and auction is this Saturday night from 6 to 9. And this year, I mean, folks who have come know that, you know, each year we kind of pick a theme and we focus on some area of what we do. And this year we are focusing on our adaptive ski program and our partnership with Eagle Crest. So for all of you folks who have been up at the mountain and seen our Orca program and seen all the great adaptive skiing that goes on in this community, this would be a really fun event for you to come to, because we're going to be highlighting that, showing lots of pictures, talking about it. We've made a small film about the program that shows a lot of the adaptive skiing that goes on up there. And it's pretty exciting what's happening at Eagle Crest, and the partnership there is something that does not happen at a lot of ski areas nationwide. So we're doing some pretty great stuff. And I think that everyone will really enjoy hearing about it.
All right. And what are you serving for dinner?
So
it's not just you. I know it's not you.
No. So dinner is Abby's Kitchen is catering, and it's going to be a roast pork loin, and it's Italian theme. So it should be delicious, of course, because they always do great stuff. And Tom Loker is going to be playing music. And, you know, these funds help us really to meet people's needs all throughout Juneau. Southeast Alaska Independent Living is a Southeast-wide organization, and our main office is here in Juneau, and we serve about 1,000 folks, over 1,000 folks Southeast-wide. And we really, you know, what's unique about SAIL is we're a center for independent living, so whatever individuals need to be independent in their lives is where we're going to work with them. So we don't really have a box. We work with any disability of any age, and our mission is to inspire personal independence, and this is our biggest fundraiser of the year, and it really helps us to be able to meet people's different needs.
Jordan, it also says auction. What are you auctioning off?
Yeah, so we also have a silent auction and some outcry, and we have also 2 Alaska Airlines tickets anywhere they fly to raffle off that night. So we have some great – we have a package to Gustavus. We have a package to Tenneke. We have a bunch of great artwork. We have some local jewelers who have donated things. The auction is always filled with great stuff, and this year is no exception. So some great deals to be had and some really wonderful items that have been donated.
All right, Jordan. And where is this going to take place?
So it's at Centennial Hall from 6 to 9 Saturday night, and you can get tickets online at www.saleinc.org or by calling our office at 586-4920.
All right, Jordan Nigro, thank you very much for being our guest on the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right. And I can see that no phones are ringing, and Hillary and Kristen are just sitting there. Again, they're looking at me wondering why I'm just flapping my jaws here. I would like to have somebody call and let them answer so they've got something to do. That phone number is 586-3636. And for everybody out there, new listeners as well as the old hands, please consider becoming a member or making just a pledge of $15 or $20. This does help us out. It keeps our stations on the air, and we can't do it without your financial support. So please consider giving them a call, 586-3636. Hillary and Kristen, and they are representing the National Council on Alcohol and Drug Dependence.
Support for programming on this station is provided by Kathy Munoz, candidate for State House of Representatives, paid for by Kathy Munoz for House.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday, the 28th of October, 2014. It's the birthday of the convicted murderer and best-selling detective novelist Anne Parry, born Juliet Holm in London, 1938. She had tuberculosis. She was sent away to live in the Bahamas, then South Africa, then rejoined her family when she was 13 after her father got a job in New Zealand. where she became close friends with a classmate, Pauline Parker. They wrote letters to each other daily, created an elaborate fantasy world together. They were both working on novels. They planned to run away to New York together, find publishers, make the books into Hollywood movies. And then Juliet's parents decided to leave New Zealand and go back to South Africa. And the two girls were horrified. They begged for Pauline to be able to move to South Africa too. And Juliet's parents said, okay, she could come with them, as long as it was okay with the Parkers. But Pauline Parker's mother refused to give her permission, and the two teenage girls decided that Pauline's mother was ruining their lives and she needed to be killed. And so they did. They invited her to go on a walk in the park. They bashed her head in with a brick, went back to the tea house where they had had lunch. They were covered in blood. They were arrested. Juliet was 15, Pauline 16. A murder that shocked New Zealand. They were sentenced to an indefinite prison sentence, released about 5 years later, under the condition that they never contact each other. The girl who had been Juliet Holm changed her name to Anne Perry, converted to Mormonism, settled in a remote Scottish village, published a murder mystery in 1978 called The Cater Street Hangman, wrote a detective series, and then in 1994, the Parker Holm murder case inspired a movie, Heavenly Creatures, starring Kate Winslet as Juliet. A reporter wrote a story about the film, discovered not only that Juliet was still alive, but she was a best-selling world-famous writer named Anne Perry, who has written more than 50 novels, and who said of her writing, "It is vital for me to go on exploring moral matters." It was on this day in 1886 the Statue of Liberty was officially unveiled and opened to the public. There was a big ceremony in front of the statue, which was under a veil. The sculptor Frederic Auguste Bartholdi was alone in the crown of the statue, waiting for the signal to drop the veil. A speaker was droning on, and Bartholdi mistook the signal, dropped the veil, and the speaker sat down. And it's the birthday of Evelyn Waugh, born in London, 1903, author of Bride's Head Revisited and many other novels. Here's a poem for today by Frederick Smock, entitled Moon. The day lengthens, the old earth tips its hat to the moon. The changeful moon goes through many phases, even in a single night. Though it is the same moon as ever, we know this. We are the changes. A poem entitled Moon by Frederick Smock from The Bounteous World, published by Broadstone Books, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by Lumosity.com, a brain training program designed by neuroscientists that has been used by 50 million people worldwide. More at Lumosity.com. And by Arizona State University, with more than 70 campus degrees now available 100% online at online.asu.edu. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Teresa Burgess. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
p.m. You're listening to KTOO in Juneau. I'm Ken Fix. I'm your host for a Juneau afternoon. And maybe you're a new listener to us. Maybe you've been listening for years, but your support of our stations is very important. We broadcast the programming that you listen to, and contributions, yeah, money from listeners like you throughout the area are the way that we pay for the programming that we get. And this is the largest thing in our budget is basically people that donate to us so that we can stay on the air. And when you become a member, you'll know exactly where your money goes because you'll be listening to it every day. You can turn on the radio and actually hear the programs that your donations help us get and pay for. None of those things that come through NPR are free. So all those shows like Fresh Air, All Things Considered, Democracy Now!, we pay for the right to broadcast those. And that's when we rely on you as a listener of KTOO to support the programming that we air. And again, you guys don't want to listen to me for 8 hours a day. Definitely not. My wife doesn't even want to listen to me for 8 hours a day. So please consider either becoming a sustaining member or making a one-time gift to us at the station here. I've got two ladies out there that are just sitting there, and one of them's kind of raised her eyebrow just a moment ago. They can hear me out there. Hillary and Kristen are here. They're from the National Council on Alcohol and Drug Dependence. They're volunteering their time, just like I volunteer to do the shows that I do every week. 586-3636, and please consider either becoming a sustaining member or making a one-time donation to keep our stations on the air. And now I'd like to welcome my next guest to the studio. It's Michelle Moore, and she's here to talk about Wednesday's fundraiser for the Activities Department. Hi, Michelle. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for letting us come on.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the fundraiser.
Okay. So any of the activities from Juno Douglas High School, the Crimson Bears, we're going to have a big, like, Cellapalooza. They'll all have different tables and booths set up, and you can come out and support all of the teams and activities, not just the sports teams, but lots of different activities from the school. We're invited to do this. There could be bake sales. There could be, like, garage sale, yard sale type things. I know that a lot of the activities wanted to sell spirit ware and spirit paraphernalia. And I know that the theater department is excited because we're selling a lot of costumes, and it's right before Halloween, and we have some beautiful and really great costumes, and we're just bursting at the seams. We got to get rid of some of this stuff. And so it's just going to be a good time for you to come out and support your Crimson Bears.
Oh, plus, if you didn't already pick out a costume for Halloween, you might just find something.
That's right.
We'll okay, help what kind of costumes do you have?
Oh, my gracious.
We don't need any hazmat suits,
what do you got? We have all kinds of stuff, from medieval wear to peasantry to we have things left over from, like, all the place. So we have Jungle Book costumes and Wizard of Oz costumes and the King and I costumes and you name it. We probably have it up there somewhere. I do know that we have all the suits from Winnie the Pooh. So all the popular animals from Winnie the Pooh are there somewhere. And
so somebody could actually go as Tigger this year.
That's right. They could.
All right. I wonder what that costume fits.
Yeah.
Okay, so each one's going to host their own individual type of sale, right?
Yes. It'll all be located in the commons of the high school, and it's from 5 p.m. until 8 p.m. tomorrow night.
All right, and what is the theater department doing right now?
Well, we're fixing to have auditions for our next show, which will be Xanadu, which is a zany musical that is about the 80s, the 1980s. And so it kind of has fun with that time period. And it also incorporates Greek gods and the nine muses in the story. And it's a comedy. It's a satire. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. And in the last number, we'll all roller skate the choreography, because roller skating was a big deal in the 80s, and lots of fun 80s songs. And so we have auditions for that this week on Thursday and Friday. And we are also competing against all the other Southeast teams in drama competitions. And we just got back from Haynes last weekend, where our students did really well. We won a lot of first, second, and third places at that tournament. And so we're well on our way to going to state in drama again.
All right. Is anything else coming up for the theater department?
Well, we'll have one more play in May, and that play will be with the Thunder Mountain High School. It'll be a musical. It hasn't been announced what we're going to do as of yet. But we collaborated last year, the community might remember, on Spamalot, and did that with the other high school. And so we're going to do another musical in May with Thunder Mountain High School to try to keep the camaraderie with the theater departments in both high schools.
All right, Michelle, and let's remind everybody when the fundraiser is going to be.
So tomorrow night at Juno Douglas High School in the Commons from 5 p.m. until 8 p.m.
All right, Michelle Moore, thank you very much for being our guest on the show today.
Thank you.
And it's kind of gloomy out there. It's I can see just a few leaves hanging off the tree here. And, boy, they're struggling to just stay on there with the wind and everything. So I'm going to play Simon and Garfunkel's Hazy Shade of Winter. Enjoy.
Support for programming on this station is provided by Sam Keto, Democratic candidate for State House. Paid for by Sam Keto for State House.
It's 3:48 p.m. You're listening to KTOO in Juneau. Yes, our membership drive is still ongoing. Hillary and Kristen, well, Kristen just got done taking a phone call. She's giving me a big thumbs up. Thank you very much out there, everybody, for your support with your pledges. You're basically helping us stay on the air. With your financial support, you are actually members of our community. A lot of us are donating our time and our talents in getting these things on the air and providing them to you. But for those that don't want to come down here and be on the air and flap their jaws like I'm doing, just a small donation or a sustaining membership pledge helps keep us on the air, helps keep the lights on, the transmitters going, and people like me scurrying around wondering what I'm doing here on the radio. But it's great. I've enjoyed the opportunities that I've gotten to be on the radio, and this would not happen at all if people like you out there weren't donating just a little bit of your money in order to keep these stations on the air. It's very much a part of my life now. I enjoy bringing you the Juno Afternoon on Tuesdays and every once in a while filling in on some other shows. Also doing an oldies show that's on our sister station, KRNN. actually tomorrow night. I'm going to plug this anyways. Tomorrow night is our Halloween show, so Colleen and I will be doing the show from 5 to 7. A lot of your Halloween favorites, along with some movie sound snippets from some scary films. So that's going to be something that y'all can look forward to. We only get to do this once a year, so our Halloween show, we get to drag out things like Ghostbusters and Love Potion number 9 and The Twilight Zone and Michael Jackson's Thriller, of course. So we would love to have you tune in and listen to that. That's tomorrow night from 5 to 7 on KRNN 102.7, our sister station. And I wouldn't get the chance to do that if it wasn't for people like you that either become sustaining members or that consider making a one-time donation to KTOO in order to keep us on the air, keep the lights on, keep the talent flowing, and pay for all the bills around this place and get the programming that you love to listen to. So all things considered, Democracy Now!, Fresh Air, those things all cost money. We don't just pick them up for free. And without your support, we're not able to do what we do. So Hillary and Kristen are back there sitting again, and Kristen's giving me a few eyebrows up and a little bit of a smile. So they are standing by to take your calls. The number is 586-3636, and those two are generously giving of their time. They are from the National Council on Alcohol and Drug Dependence, and I'm just glad that they're out there. So consider giving us a call, 586-3636, and here's Bird Note.
This is Bird Note. Crows stream by overhead in the late afternoon. Rivers of crows. These are American crows with a purpose. They're headed to their night roost, a giant avian slumber party. Gathering in a park or woodland, they land in a tree, then scuffle and shuffle and squawk, filtering down through the branches. Birds arriving late force the early birds lower into the trees. Crow expert Bill Gilbert believed that the roost provides warmth, protection from predators, knowledge about food sources, and a chance to locate a prospective mate. Immature crows may spend the night in the roost year-round, but adults of breeding age generally use the roost only during the non-breeding seasons. And just how many crows are there in a roost? It all depends. But one longtime roost in Danville, Illinois, boasts nearly 100,000 birds. Not that the folks of Danville are especially happy about that. Imagine the ruckus when the first few thousand crows leave in the morning, about an hour before sunrise. Some autumn evening, follow crows to their roost, if you can, and watch these avian acrobats wheel in. Hitchcock's movie, The Birds, might come to mind. And if you go, a word of warning, you'd better take an umbrella. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
It's 3:53 p.m. and a Juno afternoon is still got a few more minutes left. Somebody just walked into my studio here and is going to sit down and talk with us for a little bit. And hi, mystery guest, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Ken?
Okay, doing great, doing great. Tell everybody who you are.
I'm Joan Pardis. I came and waved at Ken. I was listening to him in the car on my way to town. And as always, Ken does a great job. And he's talking about the drive and how we all need to rally together to keep the great programming at KTOO.
Right. Well, since you're on that side of the mic right now, why don't you ask me what I've got coming up at the planetarium tonight? Because now I get to plug something else that I do. So play host for just a moment and ask me what's going on.
You got to love the Juno radio scene. You just have to. So, Ken, what's going on at the planetarium tonight?
Okay. Well, glad you asked, Joan. I am doing a presentation on Cronus and Saturn tonight. It'll probably be the last time that I do a mythology on the planets type show. So I'm hoping that we can get some people out there and, you know, have them get a little bit of education in some Greek mythology as well as the planetary science of Saturn.
Sounds great. So this is part of the monthly gig that's going on at the Planetarium.
Yes, this is our monthly show this Tuesday night, tonight, and it's from 6:30 to 7:30, and it's absolutely free to the public. And I will be doing the presentation.
Okay.
So we're going to learn a lot about Saturn, but, you know, it's more than just a pretty planet with some nice rings.
Okay.
It has the best chance for any kind of life outside of what we know on Earth than any place else in the solar system, better than Mars.
That was going to be my next question. More than Mars? More than the moon?
Oh, yeah. There is a moon that is circling Saturn. Called Enceladus, and Enceladus is very unique in that it is spitting hot water jets into the space above the little moon. So there is liquid salt water underneath the surface of Enceladus, and we have a space probe called Cassini that's been out there for like over 10 years now, and we've actually flown it through the salt water plumes and detected some organic compounds, which is carbon, which is the building blocks of life that we know on planet Earth.
Wow.
So, yeah, a lot of people don't know about this one. So I'm kind of one of the new advocates for just bypassing Mars and any other place that we can think of and just running out to Enceladus with a fishing line and some bait and seeing what's in there.
Sounds like such a last adventure. I'm going to go to Saturn's moon.
Well, it's like, hey, if there's liquid water out here in the Gastineau Channel and there's life in it and temperatures that are close to freezing, why couldn't there be the same thing there? We've already detected organic compounds, so that means that there's carbon present in the water that Cassini has flown through.
So I'm imagining that you're not alone in this interest in Saturn. Is there a group of scientists out there who just
They're all like, hey, we haven't found liquid salt water anywhere else in the solar system. This is one place where we know it exists. And that's one of the key places where life could have begun on Earth is in the salt water. So, I'm thinking that we just bypass everything and go out to Enceladus with some fishing line and bait and go trolling, see what's in there. So that's my idea.
Troll. Talk about
it's,
expensive
yeah, I know
gear.
It's expensive gear, and everybody would have a big discussion about what kind of bait we would use, what kind of fishing rig, you know, because we got one shot at it. It's like, what are you going to take? Well, I don't know. Should we use this or should we use that? Do we need braided line or no? So, you know, all the scientists and the angling community would probably come together on that to figure out what they were going to do.
And if people want to learn more about Saturn and Cronus, where do they go tonight?
They would go to the Marie Drake Planetarium. So if you're coming from the valley, down Egan Highway, make the left turn where the breakwater is and the very first right. Go past the athletic fences. When they stop, that's the walkway that leads into the Marie Drake Middle School building. You'll see the planetarium dome shape is kind of on the top of the Marie Drake building.
So you could park right in front of that field.
Right, yeah.
And, in between the pool and Harborview.
Right. If you went to Blockbuster Video, you definitely went too far. So
but
that's,
then
that's
you should rent Galaxy Quest and take it back if you missed the whole show. But if you haven't missed the show, you should go check it out.
Oh, that was that's like our summer schedule where we were running sci-fi movies. Yeah, I had a lot of people there for Galaxy Quest. But I'm hoping that there's some mythology fans and some science seekers out there that would like to see the Saturn presentation tonight. I do have a couple of pictures at the very end from the most recent flyby that Cassini has made of Titan, which it just did on the 24th.
Okay, so, speak English. Cassini is what and Titan is?
Cassini is the space probe we got out there orbiting Saturn, and Titan is the only moon in the solar system with an atmosphere.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's all very interesting, but I have two of the raw, unprocessed JPL, Jet Propulsion Laboratory images, so I'll be talking about those tonight.
That sounds great. And just give us a little soundbite. I know KTOO is usually much more in-depth, but just a little soundbite about Cronus, your talk about Cronus tonight.
Oh, well, he was the leader of the generation of gods called the Titans, and he was overthrown by Zeus, Hades, and Poseidon.
So
and
he was
Zeus,
a big deal before Zeus?
Zeus became king of the gods. Yes. He overthrew his father named Ouranos, and that's where that went. But let me get to the weather before we end up the show. Tonight, rain likely. Well, at least they're not saying the S word. With lows 36 to 42, northeast winds at 5 to 15 miles an hour, gusting to 25 near downtown Juneau and Douglas. We're already seeing that. Tomorrow, rain likely with highs in the mid-40s and southeast winds at 10 miles an hour. You are listening to KTOO in Juneau. We rebroadcast on the following translators, and I'm reaching for the little sheet here. K276 AF in the Mendenhall Valley in Auk Bay, K269 AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K201 AM in Gustavus, K220 BT in Hoonah, K210 AS Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. In Juneau, KTOO is on GCI Cable, digital channel 871. We are also online on ktoo.org. It's been my pleasure to host the Juneau Afternoon for you today. All Things Considered is coming right up. Have a great day, everybody.
We don't need recounts to push us into overtime this year. There are a couple of states that may just very well need weeks to resolve.
Which party will control the Senate could hinge on runoff elections.
It's Tuesday, October 28th, and this is All Things Considered from NPR News.
I'm Melissa Bloch.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Coming up, the uncertainty principle.